7. City of Light. For a moment, to even face the light was painful. Silver in its artificiality, as cold and far removed from the warm glow of a natural star as could be imagined. Shadowing his face from the austere glare, Lorgar looked across the plains where Ingathel had gestured. Shapes resolved themselves into an uneven skyline. Lorgar knew it instantly, for he had studied there for almost a decade, living among its people and coming to adore them as he loved the people of Colchis. Tiska, he said the word only after swallowing his horror. Cracked spires of human ingenuity. Great pyramids of white stone, pale metal and shattered glass. City walls fallen to nothing more than lumped rubble. This was the great and enlightened city of the Thousand Suns, reduced to the edge of devastation. What madness do I see before me? What lies cruelly given shape? Tiska will burn in the crucible of the coming war. It must be so. I will never allow this to come to pass. You will allow it, Lorgar. You must. You are not my master. I would never hold faith in a god that controlled its worshippers. Faith is about freedom, not slavery. You will allow this to come to pass. If this is the future, Ingathel, I will tell Magnus in the past. When I return to the Imperium, it will be the first thing to leave my lips. No. This is the final incident in Magnus's illumination. Betrayed by the Emperor, betrayed by his own brothers, he will bring his city to the warp in order to escape final destruction. Here, he forges a bastion for the war to come. What war? Lorgar spat the words. You keep speaking of betrayals, of crusades and battles, as if I can already see into the same futures you describe. Tell me, damn you, what war? Lorgar started to move towards the ruined city, but Ingathel gripped his armored shoulder. The war you will begin, but will never lead. The war to bring all these truths to the Imperium. You came to find the gods, Lorgar. You have found them, as they always intended for you. Their eyes are turned towards humanity now. We said this to Argyltal, as we say it to you now. Humanity must embrace the truths of divine reality, or suffer the same fate as the Eldar.
Lorgar looked back to the city.
You already knew it would come to war. A holy crusade to bring the truth to Terra. Too many worlds will resist. The Emperor's grip on their lives is too complete, too merciless. The anathema starves them of any chance to grow on their own, so they will languish, and then they will die, while shackled by his narrow vision.
The Primarch smiled, the expression a mirror of his genetic father's own faint amusement. And in place of order, you offer chaos. I have seen what walks on the faces of those Eldar worlds lost in this great drowned empire. The seas of blood and the cities of howling Neverborn.
You look upon an empire that failed to heed the gods.
Even so, there are horrors no human will willingly embrace.
No. These things are horrors only to those who look upon them with mortal eyes. Without belief in the true gods, humanity will fall to its own faithlessness. Alien kingdoms will break the Imperium apart, for humanity lacks the strength to survive in a galaxy that loathes your species. Your expansion will fade and diminish, and the gods will smite all who turn from the offer of true faith. Your kind can embrace the chaos you speak of, or it can taste the same fate as the Eldar.
Chaos. Lorgar tasted the word, weighing it on his tongue. That is not the correct word, is it? The immaterial realm may be one of pure chaos, but it is changed when bonded with the material universe. Diluted. Even in this great eye, where the gods stare into the galaxy, physical laws are broken, but it is not a place of pure chaos. It is no random ocean of seething psychic energy. It is not the warp itself, but a meshing of here and there, the firmament and the ether. The Primarch breathed in the ashy air, feeling it tickle the back of his throat. Perfect order would never change, but pure chaos would never rise in the first place. You desire a union. He turned to Ingathel. Blood ran from both the demon's eyes now, darkening its fur in bleak lightning streaks. You need us, Lorgar said. The gods need us. They cannot claim the material realm without us. Their power is strangled when they have no prayers or deeds offered in worship.
Yes. But the need is not a selfish one. It is a natural desire. The gods are masters of chaos as a natural force. The warp is every human emotion. Every emotion from any sentient race made manifest into a psychic tempest. It is not the enemy of life, but the result of it.
Lorgar breathed deeply, tasting more of the ash on the wind. He said nothing, for there was little to say. Argal Tal had brought these words back with him, and now they were Lorgar's to hear firsthand.
Chaos seeks symbiosis with life, the ensouled and the neverborn in natural harmony. Union, faith, power, Lorgar, immortality and endless possibility, sensations beyond mortal comprehension, the ability to feel maddening delight at any agony. The gift of ecstasy even when you are destroyed, making even death a great joke, knowing you will incarnate in another form over and over until the suns themselves go black. And when the stars die, chaos still lives on in the cold, still perfect, still exultant, still pure. This is everything humanity has ever dreamed of, to be unchallenged in the galaxy, to be omnipotent above all other life, and to be eternal.
Lorgar would no longer look at the fallen city. You have chosen poorly. I am pleased and proud to have discovered the truth. I am honored to be chosen by beings powerful enough to be considered divine by the truest meaning of the word. But I will struggle to bring this light to humanity. I cannot win a war against the gods sat upon the Terran throne.
Life is struggle. You will strive, and you will succeed.
Even if I believed all of this, Lorgar's blood ran cold, I have 100,000 warriors. We will be dead the moment we make planetfall upon the throne world.
You will attract more as you liberate world after world. It is written in the stars. After you sail from here, your legion no longer spends years crafting perfect worlds, venerating the anathema as the god emperor. You will crush resistance beneath your boots and draw fresh, faithful humans into your service. Some will be slaves in the bowels of your warships. Others will be your flock, to shepherd them towards enlightenment. Many more will be taken into your genetic harvester asylums and bred into legionaries.
The Primarch resisted the urge to curse. I'm growing increasingly uneasy with you discussing my future in such definite terms. None of these events have happened yet and may never occur. You have still not answered the one question that matters.
Why must it be me? It has to be you.
His teeth clenched together, hard enough to squeak.
Why? Why not one of the others? Horus, Sanguinius, the Lion, Dawn? Each of the other legions would die for their Primarchs and lay down their lives for the Imperium. But the Imperium is the cancer killing the species. Even when some of your brothers turn against the Emperor, they will fight to command the Imperium. Only the word-bearers will die for the truth and for humanity itself. Faith and steel must now be joined. If humanity becomes an empire instead of a species, it will fall to alien claws and the wrath of the gods. It is the way of things. What has happened before will happen again.
Lorgar pulled a sealed scroll from his belt, unrolling it with exaggerated care. Red dust clung to the parchment from the surface of Shanriatha, as did a few speckles of blood from the carnage beneath the Eternity Gate. They dotted the cream page, bold against the pale paper, almost like tiny wax seals. His son's blood. The lifeblood of one of his legion, 50 years from now. A warrior destined to die on the home world of humanity, countless systems away from where he'd been born. Had that warrior even been born yet? Lorgar screwed up the parchment, destroying the Colchisian cuneiform scripture, and let it fall to the cold ground. Is Magnus here now? Are we here 50 years from the night I entered the Great Eye?
Yes. Where we stand now is mere days after something humanity will come to recall as the raising of Prospero. Magnus fell victim to his own arrogance, and now resides in the tallest tower of his broken city, here, lamenting the destruction of his legion and the death of his hopes. He intended only the best, but his curiosity saw him damned in the eyes of the Emperor. He looked too deep, too long, into ideals the Emperor did not hold.
Lorgar nodded, expecting nothing less. It was hardly unprecedented, after all. His own legion, 100,000 word-bearers kneeling in the dust of Monarchia. He shook his head, looking back to the city, and the tower at the heart of it. Why does he come here, to the Empyrean?
To hide where the Emperor's dogs cannot catch him. He is here to lick his wounds. For his sins, Magnus was sentenced to censure. He chose exile over execution.
Lorgar started walking. I'm going to speak with him.
You will not be allowed to stand before the Crimson King.
He didn't need to turn to know the demon was smiling. We will see, he called over his shoulder. There was no answer. Ingathel was gone. He was threatened by an abortion wearing the cardinal red ceramite of the Thousand Suns Legion.
Deltungitzen,
it demanded. A bronze bolter was wrapped in the quivering flesh-coloured tentacles it used as arms. Behind this lone sentry, the fallen city wall of Tisca rose in mounds of rubble. Lorgar breathed a slow exhalation. Even from a dozen metres away, the Thousand Sun reeked of spoiled meat and the rich, coppery tang of etheric secrets. What remained of its face looked as if it had melted down the front of its skull. I am Lorgar, Lord of the 17th Legion. He gestured to the bolter in the thing's limbs. Lower your weapon, nephew. I am here to speak with my brother. Another attempt at speech left the Thousand Sun's ravaged features as a meaningless blur of syllables. It seemed to recognize its own inadequacy in this regard, for a gentle, cultured voice drifted into Lorgar's mind a moment later. I am Hasjin of the 15th Legion. You cannot be what you appear. Lorgar buried his discomfort beneath his father's smile.
I could say the same words to you, Hasjin.
The ground gave a particularly violent shudder. Glass shattered in the lowest levels of the closest pyramid, as more rocks tumbled from the ruined city wall.
The Crimson King tells us we are the only human life on this world.
Hasjin's dripping face snuffed back a mouthful of air in ungainly respiration. You cannot be Lord Aurelian of the Word-Bearers. Lorgar spread his hands in a display of unarmed beneficence.
You know me, Hasjin. Do you recall the evening I lectured on the Khed Kahir parables, in the West Garden District of the City of Grey Flowers. The bolter lowered a fraction.
I recall it well. How many of my legion's warriors were present that night?
Lorgar nodded in respect to the Thousand Sun. 37. Among a mortal crowd of over 20,000. The warrior's sloping eyes blinked slowly.
And what is the 50th principle of Cahir?
There is no 50th principle of Cahir, for he died of a consumptive sickness soon after penning the 19th. The 50th principle of Ked is to maintain cleanliness of flesh and iron as surely as one would maintain purity of soul, for the external inexorably bleeds into the internal. The warrior lowered his bolter.
You may yet be a deceiver, but I will take you to my lord. He will judge you with his own eye.
Lorgar inclined his head again, this time in thanks. He followed the limping figure of Hasjin, ascending the mounds of rubble to enter the city proper. The warrior's halting stride set his armor's servo joints snarling. Lorgar watched the warrior's limping movements. Whatever benefits the mutations offered, they were hidden by the legion's armor. Above all, a randomness lay in Hasjin's corruption. Lorgar couldn't help contrast it to the shaped, lethal warping of Argal Tal in his previous vision. His own son's alterations had all the hallmarks of malicious intent, as if a greater intellect had kneaded the word-bearer's flesh, rewriting his life at the genetic level, crafting him into a living engine of war. Hasjin's mutation showed no such design. If anything, he seemed diseased.
Nephew, Lorgar kept his voice soft. What has happened to you? How many of my brother's sons are as changed as you are?
Hasjin didn't look back.
This place, this world, it has altered so many of us. The powers bless us, my lord.
Blessed. So the demon Ingathel had spoken the truth. Physical considerations faded when one embraced union with the gods. With psychic mastery and the ascension of consciousness to immortal levels, evidently the struggles of the flesh were increasingly irrelevant. Perhaps it made a sick kind of sense. When one was omnipotent, functions of the flesh hardly mattered. Power to such a degree overshadowed lesser concerns. Yet even for one who prided himself on his enlightened perspective, it was a bitter pill for Lorgar to swallow. The truth may be divine, but that hardly rendered it any more appealing to the human race. Some truths were too ugly to be easily embraced. A rancid, unwanted smile claimed his mouth for a moment. It would be a crusade, then. Another crusade to bring the truth to the masses at the point of a sword. Humanity would never, could never, be relied upon to reach its own enlightenment. He found it the sorriest, saddest aspect to the species.
How long have you been here, Hasjin?
Some of us insist it has been months. Others claim mere days have passed. We cannot record the time accurately, for it flows in all directions. Chronometers dance to tunes of their own devising.
The warrior made a strangled gargle, approaching a laugh.
However, the Primarch tells us mere days have passed in the material realm.
Lorgar!
Ingathel's voice, not Hasjin's.
Turn back. This future is not yours to see.
The Primarch held his tongue as they walked into Tisca, the City of Light. As he looked upon Magnus, Lorgar reconciled logic with emotion, forging both into understanding. This was not the Magnus he knew. This was Magnus 5 decades older. In 50 years, he had aged 100. The Crimson King had abandoned the pretension of armor, clad now in nothing more than divine light that left aching afterimages in the minds of all who looked upon him. Yet beneath this psychic grandeur, a broken brother stared at Lorgar's arrival. His remaining eye showed little of its former pearlescent gleam, and his features, never those of a handsome man, were now cracked by time's lines and the ravines of tortured thought.
Lorgar,
the figure of Magnus said, breaking the library's stillness and silence. The witchlight roiling from him in waves illuminated the scrolls and books lining the walls. The word-bearer entered slowly,
his purring armor joints adding to the breach of silence. Standing too near Magnus bred a painful tingling behind the eyes, as if white noise had evolved into a physical sensation. Lorgar turned his gentle gaze aside, taking in his brother's collection of writings. Immediately, his glance fell upon one of his own books, an epilogue to Torment, written the very same year he had won the crusade against the Covenant's old ways on Colchis. Lorgar traced a gloved fingertip down the book's leather spine.
"You do not seem surprised to see me, brother."
"I am not."
Magnus allowed himself a smile. It only deepened the lines marring his face.
"This world holds endless surprises. What game is this, I wonder? What incarnated hallucination am I addressing this time? You are a poor simulacrum of Lorgar spirit. Your eyes do not burn with the fire of a faith only he and his sons understand, nor do you bear the same scars."
Magnus remained standing by his writing desk, but made no move to go back to his reading. Lorgar turned to him, narrowing his eyes at the glare.
"I am no apparition, Magnus. I am Lorgar, your brother, in the final nights of my pilgrimage. Time, as you see, is mutable here."
He hesitated.
"The years have not been kind to you."
The other Primarch laughed, though the sound held no humor.
"Recent years have been kind to no one. Begone, creature, and leave me to my calculations."
"Brother, it is me."
Magnus narrowed his remaining eye.
"I grow weary of this. How did you ascend my tower?"
"I walked, in the company of your warriors. Magnus, I..."
"Enough! Leave me to my calculations."
Lorgar stepped forward, hands raised in brotherly conciliation.
"Magnus!"
"Enough!"
The explosion of whiteness stole all sense, save for the feeling of falling.